City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com, Episode 2.
Mom, I can't find my blue tie.
Did you check in your closet?
Of course I did. It's not there.
Maybe you put it in the coat closet when you got home the other day.
I checked there already, Mom. Where can it be?
Maybe you can wear a different tie, dear.
It's the only one that goes with the shirt. I don't have time to change. I can't be late.
Mark, I don't think they're going to hire you based on your tie.
The way things have been going, the tie might be the only reason they hire me.
Oh, Mark, I know it's been tough, but God will put you in exactly the job he wants you to be in.
It doesn't look like he wants me in any job. Mom, it's been more than 2 months. I've already burned through all the contacts I had before graduation. I've only got a few more interviews set up, and then I'm back to square one. I just don't understand it. I have a good degree from a good school. I have great references from the internships I've done the past few summers. I know how to do all this stuff, but no one wants to hire me.
Do you tell them about the products you've worked on during your internships? That was a commercial app you delivered last summer. You practically wrote the whole thing yourself.
I know. I tell them that. I tell them about the nice things my bosses and coworkers said about me. I show them the reference letters, and the weird part is, they seem to really like everything I tell them, but then they contact me a few days later and tell me I'm not what they're looking for, or I'm not a good fit, but they never tell me why.
And you're staying positive during the interviews? Are you sitting up, smiling?
Yeah, all that. And they're smiling and telling me how much I know and how much experience I have for someone just coming out of school. I don't get it.
And they still seem pretty positive by the time you leave?
Well, they don't seem quite as positive at the end.
Is there something you're saying that upsets them?
I don't think so. In fact, it seems like things are going really great. After all the technical stuff, they ask about what I like to do, how I spend my spare time, you know, really friendly stuff like that.
And what do you tell them you do?
I tell them about church. I tell them about the work I do at our youth group. I tell them about the Bibles we hand out to people. It's not like I'm telling them I rob convenience stores at night or something.
Do you talk about what they do?
Well, it's usually how we get on the subject. They tell me about all the activities they have at their company. That's when I start thinking they want to hire me. They're trying to convince me that's a fun place to work. But then they talk about the happy hour Fridays when they bring beer and alcohol into the office. The last place I went to even told me about the secret closet in the marketing department where they hide their stash of liquor. One guy even showed me the mini fridge in his office where he keeps his beer.
He has beer in his office?
Yeah. Now that I think about it, the alcohol thing seems to be pretty prevalent. And the blasphemy and profanity are really bad, too. I don't think I've been on an interview yet where they didn't use bad language or blaspheme Jesus.
Well, I can see why God wouldn't want you in those places. What other kinds of things do they do?
Well, they seem to go clubbing and bar hopping a lot. One place even told me they'll all get up in the middle of the afternoon and head to the bar down the street, then come back and finish working.
No wonder so many of my apps don't work right.
Yeah, I guess that does explain a lot. Oh, Mom, what am I going to do? What if they're all like this?
Mark, you just have to keep trusting God. Be thankful that you didn't get hired by any of those places. Can you imagine how miserable you'd be if you had to be surrounded by that sort of thing all day? Imagine the pressure you'd be under to go along with all that.
Yeah, I know. It's just frustrating. I know I can do these jobs, and these people know I can do them too. It feels like high school all over again. If you don't use the kind of language they do, if you don't laugh at those dirty jokes, if you don't make those crude comments, then you're just an outsider.
Just keep praying, Mark. God will put you exactly where He wants you. You have to trust Him. It sounds like He's been pretty merciful to you already by keeping you out of those terrible companies.
Yeah, I know. I just thought it would be easier. I had all this stuff set up before I graduated. I thought for sure I'd be working by now.
Well, Mark, maybe that's what God's teaching you. Put your whole trust in Him, not in your own plans.
So, I shouldn't have made all those contacts before graduation?
Oh, of course you should have. God doesn't want us to be lazy, but we do what we can do and then trust Him and submit to His will. We may have all sorts of plans and make all sorts of preparations, but we have to be willing to let God brush all those aside if that's His will. Mark, keep working hard. Keep doing the things you're doing, but also be aware that God's plans are better than yours. Be willing to surrender everything to Him.
I know. It's hard, though. I have all these plans.
Trust in God's plans, Mark. If you do, you'll always be on the winning side. Who's going to defeat God's plans?
True. I guess I just worry that God's plans for my life might be different than my plans for my life.
Well, isn't it nice that God's teaching you that while you're still young? It usually takes people a long time to learn that lesson. This is what I mean about trusting God, Mark. You've got to trust Him completely. The fact is, He may very well have different plans for your life than you do. The question is, are you going to be okay with that?
I hope so.
Remember what Jesus said, Mark. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What's the first thing he said to do?
Deny yourself.
That's right. They're not just words, Mark. They mean something.
Yeah. I didn't think about it like that before. The whole setting your own plans aside and trusting him thing. That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. Pray for the strength to do it, Mark. Pray for the faith to trust him completely.
I will. Thanks, Mom. I just wish I knew God's plan for my blue tie. I gotta get going, Mom.
Oh, did you check the back of your doorknob?
Let me check. Ah, here it is. You're a blessing, Mom. I gotta go.
Oh, Father, please have mercy on him. Thank you for teaching him these things, but please give him strength.
He should be here any minute.
I'm sure he's busy. This has turned into a tight race.
Yeah, tighter than we ever expected.
Councilman Sherwood, it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Mike Dawson with the Dawson Research Group.
Good to meet you, Mike.
Councilman, Mr. Dawson's company is the very best political research and strategy outfit in United City. He's here to get our campaign back on track.
Well, we appreciate your help, Mike. Please, have a seat.
I can tell you, sir, that it is an honor to work with you. When Madeline approached us, everyone in our organization saw this as a great opportunity. We all know about the struggles you've had since you launched your campaign, but Dawson Research is confident that we have the winning strategy for you. And it's about you, sir. Your experience, your confident leadership, you cast a great image. There's no work to be done to show you as presidential. The thing we need to work on is your message.
That message has worked for a long time, Mike.
Yes, sir, but I'm sure you're aware of the changing landscape of United City, especially over the past few years. Just since your last election, the attitude of our citizens has shifted.
Are you sure those aren't just the squeaky wheels? The media just loves the bluster and all those wild statements. Makes for good television.
Yes, sir, but that's the issue. As those things are heard over and over again, they become less shocking and more acceptable, and that's certainly what our polling shows.
The councilman has never been driven by polls.
If you don't mind my saying so, Madeline, I believe he has. All politicians are. You may not be talking about formal polls, but the councilman certainly listens to his constituents. And Councilman Sherwood, the people of United City are a lot less concerned about social issues than they used to be. Right now, what they want are jobs. They want lower taxes. They want to be able to buy a house and go on vacation.
But they do care about social issues. Look at abortion, gay marriage, and drug legalization. These have nothing to do with getting a job. Look at the passion behind those issues.
Madeline, you're right, but... Councilman, I'm gonna put it bluntly. Your position on these and other social issues are simply out of touch with where the city is going. Where the city has already moved to. Existing voters are tired of fighting over these things, and younger voters don't think there's anything to fight about. They see people who oppose these things as oppressive and very simply unfair.
Mike, those voters that you say I'm out of touch with re-elected me again 4 years ago. I must be doing something right.
Councilman, what was your winning margin 3 elections ago?
Well, it was 42 points. It wasn't even close.
And how about the election after that?
27 points, but the other party fielded a very strong candidate. He had lots of experience.
And how about your last election? What was the margin of victory?
9 points, but we still won.
Yes, against a first-term precinct alderman, a younger alderman that had a broad coalition.
We started out strong this time, though. We had a lead in the polls before we even announced we were running.
Yes, you did. And then what happened? What happened to your poll numbers after your announcement speech?
They fell.
They fell.
Yes, but those initial polls were overly optimistic. The polling we have now is more realistic. We are still in a dead heat.
No, Madeline, you're not. Our polling shows that you're behind, and the gap is growing. The more people find out about the councilman's positions, the more he speaks, the lower his numbers go. Face it, councilman, your campaign is in free fall.
That's nonsense. Our base is still strong.
Your core base may be strong, but it's shrinking. You still pull well with the conservative Christians, but you're losing more mainline Christians and economic conservatives.
How can we be losing economic conservatives?
They care about jobs, Madeline. They don't want to fight these holy wars anymore.
So you're saying they're willing to throw away their principles for a better paying job and a bigger house?
Madeline, a better paying job and a bigger house are their principles. Councilman, this is what I mean when I say your message needs to be changed. You're not talking about the things that matter most to voters. Face it, the culture wars are over. Poll after poll. Not just ours, but everyone show that the public is moving away from those traditional positions. You're representing a smaller and smaller portion of the electorate. One that, quite frankly, is being seen more and more as fringe and even radical. Do you really want to be seen as a representative of the radical fringe?
Where is the business community on these issues?
As you'd expect, they're where the money is. The groups that advocate for these more modern positions have done a good job putting pressure on the businesses. Corporations now see support for these issues as a corporate image thing.
What happened to the good old days when companies talked about their charity work to enhance their corporate image?
Charities don't hire lobbyists. They also don't have the budget for political activism that these other groups do. Face it, Madeline. These groups have done a great job presenting their issues as social causes. They are the new charities. The fight against breast cancer has turned into a woman's rights campaign. That includes abortion. The plight of orphans has turned into a vehicle for gay adoption. The public identifies these issues together. So if you're against abortion, you're against women's rights and you're misogynistic. If you're against gay adoption, then you're against children who need loving families.
That's ridiculous.
It may seem ridiculous, but that's the image that's out there. Face it, people don't like being considered hateful or narrow-minded or judgmental. And like it or not, that's the way people come off when they oppose these things.
So, you think people are just going to cave on this? That they're so spineless that they'll give up traditional values just so people don't call them names?
They've already caved, Madeline. You may not like it, but that's what's happened. Councilman, it's very simple. You can run for office in some fantasy world that no longer exists, or you can run in the real world. The world as it is today. It's your choice. If you're ready to deal with reality, I can help you. If you want to be the president of Fantasyland, then I'm sorry, sir. There isn't anything anyone can do to help you. Rather than planning your next campaign event, you'd be better off planning your retirement.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Dawson. The councilman has had a long and distinguished career and has been winning elections for a very long time. I think he knows...
Madeline, it's okay. You don't need to defend me. She has a point, Mike. I've been winning elections for a long time.
Well, sir, you're not going to win this one. And I think you know that. You've been around long enough to see what's going on, and if you're honest with yourself, sir, you'll admit that.
What about our Christian base? It may be small, but we need their votes.
We just need to soften the message, Councilman. You still have the business community behind you. In fact, you'll certainly grow that base of support by softening your tone on these social issues and focusing on regulatory reform and reducing corporate taxes. A more inclusive message will resonate with more mainline religious groups. You can speak to them about channeling their spiritual energy into improving society at large. Sir, by increasing your appeal to these two groups alone, you'll more than make up for any attrition among the Christian conservatives. And at the end of the day, sir, where else are they going to go?
They could stay home.
Yes, Madeline, but at least they wouldn't be voting against you, which is what's happening more and more with these other groups. Councilman, you need to stop the bleeding, or this campaign is going to be over long before Election Day. Do you really want your career to end this way? A landslide defeat? It'll undermine all the good you've done.
Let me think about it, Mike. This would be a big change.
But it would be the right change, sir.
I know. I've heard what you said. Just let me think about it.
Yes, sir. Just please don't think too long. There's not much time left until the election.
Oh, believe me, I know.
Well, thank you, sir, for your time. I look forward to hearing from you.
I'm sorry, Bob. I had no idea that's where he would be coming from. I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
But is it true, Madeline? Is the public moving in a different direction?
Our base is still strong, Bob. We just need to do a better job getting your message out.
Everyone knows my message, Madeline. They've known it for years. Maybe they don't like that message anymore.
Well, I...
Oh, I know the conservative Christians like that message, but they're a smaller and smaller group. Look at some of the mainline leaders that have endorsed my opponent. But the real problem is the big businesses. They're spending big money on super PACs and coming out publicly to endorse my opponent.
Yeah, after all you've done for them. You've carried a lot of water for them in the past, Bob. Your opponents have beaten you up for supporting businesses, and now those same businesses are turning their backs on you.
Businesses are businesses, Madeline. They're going to go where they think their customers are going. Those customers are also voters. Maybe we need to pay attention to the shift that's taking place.
And your classroom is right over here.
This is amazing, Principal Harper. You have no idea how long I've dreamt of having my own classroom.
Yes, Andrea, I remember my first classroom. It was a long time ago on the other side of the city, but I still remember it like it was yesterday. It certainly is a great feeling. For me, the first time I stepped into that classroom was the first time I felt like a real teacher.
Oh, yes, Principal Harper. That's exactly how I feel. It's wonderful. I can't wait till the first day of class. It's just like when I was a little girl. I was one of those strange kids that couldn't wait for school to start.
Well, it's a little bit different when you're the one in front of the class. It's a big responsibility shaping the minds of our future leaders.
Oh, I know. I think it's a sacred responsibility. Providing all this information to children and teaching them to use the mind that God's given them to understand the world around them and how to make good decisions.
Yes, well, we do have a solid curriculum at this school. We teach our students to be open-minded, confident, and responsible citizens.
I wanted to ask you about that. I've been looking over the curriculum this summer, and I want to be sure I'm understanding things properly. I'm going to be teaching 4th and 5th graders, correct? That's what I understood from my offer letter.
Yes, that's right.
Well, I noticed there's a human reproduction program in my social studies class. Is that really something that we should be discussing?
Well, certainly. It's part of the city's approved curriculum. All the schools are teaching this. Is there a problem?
Well, when I was this age, we went over this topic a bit, but...
But?
Well, Principal Harper, it was a lot less explicit. More scientific. Do we really need to be talking about all these things to 9 and 10-year-olds? I remember my parents weren't pleased at all that this was even being discussed in the school when I was a kid. They felt that this sort of thing should be taught in the home. They actually opted me out of those classes.
Well, Ms. Lawrence, there's no opting out anymore. The fact is, children are exposed to and involved in these things at a younger and younger age. We must provide them with the right information.
It's Miss.
What?
I prefer Miss Lawrence, but Andrea's fine. And as far as children being involved in these things, well, that just sounds like bad parenting to me.
Well, Andrea, each family is different. It isn't our job to tell people how to raise their children. Our job is to make sure that they become positive, well-adjusted citizens. If we wait for the parents to do everything, then who knows what sorts of values these kids may grow up with. We have to make sure these children don't grow up to be antisocial and disruptive and undermine the society we're trying to build.
So we don't tell parents how to raise their children, we just do it for them?
Miss Lawrence, you'll soon discover that if we don't play a major role in these kids' lives, no one else will. Or worse, they'll learn antiquated and repressive values that our whole society will be stuck with when these kids are adults. We are in a unique position of influence. We mustn't shirk our responsibility.
Influence? I thought we were supposed to give them information and teach them how to think for themselves.
Yes, but we need to present them with the right information and teach them how to think correctly. There are serial killers who know how to think for themselves. Do you really want a society full of free thinkers like that?
Since you mentioned the right information, I noticed that the human reproduction curriculum was developed by Planned Families. Aren't they the largest abortion provider in the city?
They are experts in any number of reproductive issues. They have an entire curriculum already developed, which happens to save the taxpayers a significant sum of money. They even provide personnel to come into class and assist with the presentations. We'll likely provide one of their people for you, seeing as this is your first year. I certainly hope you're willing to learn from those with more experience, Miss Lawrence.
Oh yes, Principal Harper. I just want to make sure I understand things correctly. The city's largest abortion provider is going to be talking to young children in graphic terms about sex right before, as you said, they're exposed to and involved in this very activity. I don't know if that sounds like education or business development. You don't think they might have a monetary interest in sexualizing these children at an early age?
Miss Lawrence, this curriculum has already been established. Planned Families has been our educational partner for years. These children will be taught this subject with or without your cooperation. However, if you feel you are unable to meet the requirements of your new position, please tell me now so that I can make arrangements before the school year begins.
No, Principal Harper. I was just trying to understand this. Like I said, I wasn't exposed to this when I was in school, so I was just surprised when I saw the material.
Well, Miss Lawrence, as I said, I hope you're willing to learn from those with more experience. Please, Andrea, just trust me. I've been doing this for a long time. I've run this school for many years. This is one of the best schools in the city. We produce fine students and fine citizens. You're a part of something very special here, Andrea. I would just urge you to be willing to learn and trust that we know what we're doing here.
Yes, Principal Harper. I'm sorry. I guess I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I've had so much energy all day from the excitement of being here. I guess I just lost control of myself.
Oh, Andrea, dear, I understand. Believe it or not, I was young once, too. I'm sure you're going to do fine. And remember, I'm always here to help you. Please feel free to come to me any time you need help or have questions. It's in everyone's interest that you're comfortable doing your job. Your success means these children's success, and that benefits our whole city.
Yes, Principal Harper. Thank you so much for your help.
Oh, Andrea, please call me Patricia. I'm not just your boss. I'm your compatriot in this struggle. It's up to us to ensure that United City has well-adjusted, productive, and cooperative citizens.
Yes, Patricia. Thank you. I really appreciate your help and your patience.
It's okay, dear. I know you're going to do great. Just keep going through the curriculum, make sure you're prepared for the start of school, and just have fun. You're going to love it here. All the teachers are here to support one another. Oh, and you can decorate your classroom any way you want. It's your new home, hopefully for a long time. Make it a comfortable, safe place for you and your students.
Thank you, Patricia.
Well, I have to go meet with another new teacher. I'll leave you alone here to enjoy your new space, give you a chance to make some decorating decisions.
Yeah, I'll see what I can come up with. Great job, Andrea. I don't know which was worse, almost getting fired before the school year even starts, or caving in on what you believe. Oh, Father, please forgive me. Please help me to do this. I don't know what kind of mess I've gotten myself into.